Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
I'm very glad to be speaking today on the topic Kingdom Come. Now, boys and girls, I'm glad you're in today because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like these." So if the kingdom of heaven belongs to you, then maybe you're ahead of us in seeing the kingdom come. Maybe you can do it in some ways better than us grown-ups. Maybe we have to become like you. So I want you to, if you haven't already come and got an activity sheet, there are excellent activity sheets here and pens and things to do them with. So by all means, come and have a look and enjoy those. But just keep an ear out, would you? Because I think today might be kind of for you in a special way. Let me give you the background to our reading. The lame man has been miraculously healed at the gate called Beautiful at the temple. He's been lame for years, and because everybody knows he's lame, and because he's not hobbling around like someone who's never walked, he's walking and leaping and praising God. A crowd gathers in Solomon's colonnade. That was next to one of the walls of the temple, had some columns and we think a cedar ceiling, and they gathered in there, and so Peter speaks to them. The authorities get concerned. Peter and John are arrested. They're kept overnight. They're threatened. They're commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they go back to the church for the church to pray. And the church prays what I find a remarkable, inspiring prayer. I think I might have prayed, "Lord, we're being threatened. Help us to escape. Lord, we're being threatened. Keep us safe." But what they pray is for boldness. Lord, we're being threatened. Give us boldness. In fact, Nick's message, the last message in our first look at the book of Acts, was entitled Boldness. And he said something that I think is very significant. I'm talking about Nick Scott, our senior pastor. He said, "When the power of the Spirit is present, religious people become troubled. People of the Spirit become bold." Religious people become troubled. People of the Spirit become bold. Our reading is from Acts chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 12. If you have your Bible with you in your phone or one of the print ones, then you might want to turn up Acts chapter 5. But let me give you their prayer just before we read it. We're going to start at verse 12. But this prayer the church prayed was this: "Lord, we're being threatened, so enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal." That's what Dan just prayed. "Lord, heal. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." All right, today's reading shows God's answer. The apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people. They said, "Lord, may we perform signs and wonders?" God says, "Certainly." The apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. That's because of Ananias and Sapphira. Great word from Mim on that last week. It's on our channel, just on YouTube. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and those who were tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Wow. Wow. Despite the dangers, and they were very real dangers, as Dan will tell us next week, despite the danger, they're still meeting in Solomon's colonnade. The impact has moved beyond Jerusalem. Crowds gathered from the towns around. Why? Well, those first words of the reading. Because the apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people. That word signs is the Greek word semeion, and it's used in the New Testament for miracles. It's often translated miracle. Wonders? Well, wonders, the Greek word is teros, and it's a word from which we get our word terror. And a wonder is something that kind of makes you stop. It stops you in your tracks. Moses is walking through the desert. He sees a bush burning, but the bush isn't being consumed. It's a wonder. kind of, is this God? Signs and wonders. You know, much has been written and spoken and debated about signs and wonders. But I reckon we can get to what we need to know of it today just by saying the start of the Lord's Prayer together. I wonder if you join me in doing that. Just the first few phrases, and we'll use you rather than, you know, so hallowed be your name, not thy name. We won't do the thys and the thithers and the thines, if that's okay. Okay, so let's say it together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. That's it. What did you just pray? Your kingdom come. Jesus told us to pray for the kingdom to come. And so if he told us to pray for the kingdom to come, then surely he wants us to see the kingdom come. That's why Dan prayed as he did this morning. And when does the kingdom come? Well, when a troubled religious person was attacked, or people were attacking Jesus, he said this: if I, by the Spirit of God, drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God comes when lives are transformed. That's when the kingdom comes. The church is about transformation, and it's not new. Almost, let me take you back 1,000 years, roundabout. Solomon is praying at the dedication of the temple, and he includes, really interesting, he includes the foreigner who is not part of your people, who will come from a far country to pray at this temple. Why? People are going to be attracted here by your wonder-working power. The Old Testament's not just about sacrifices and ritual. It's about the wonder-working power of God that drew people. Jesus responded to another attack from a troubled religious person and said to them, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Always both are present. The gospel still comes that same way with the scriptures and with the kingdom, the power of God. Back in the day when we had church at home during COVID, you might remember we invited John Bond to speak for us out of his church planting ministry now, and he spoke on the kingdom is expanding, kingdom come. He talked about a man called Ropa Salada, who led a team in a very isolated village in Mindanao. They spent about 9 months reaching out to this village, and then came the day they were to have their first meeting with these people to establish a church. After that 9 months, well, as they arrived, they found great distress. The king placed an 8-week-old baby boy in Roper's arms. The boy was blue and not breathing.
Roper said he was numb when he took that little boy out of the chief's arms. And he just said to the team around him, pray and let's worship. And for the next 30 minutes to an hour, that is what they did. And Roper, as he cuddled this little boy, lifeless in his arms, saw over the next hour the baby's colour change. He then coughed, breathed, and came back to life again. 2 days later, 92 people in that village were baptized into Christ.
Now, John took that picture of Roper holding that little boy about a year later. And by that time, the leaders of that church had reached out to 7 other people groups with the gospel. Closer to home, in his last word in season, Gary Burford, our executive pastor, talked about BOLO, the old police alerts, be on the lookout, the ones they used to issue. And he said, be on the lookout for God at work here.
You know, recently Jonathan shared a story with our leadership team about Emmy Wilson, who recently preached at our church. Shortly after preaching here, she paid a visit to Woorooloo Prison. There were around 20 gentlemen sitting around her, and she explained what Alpha was, and she gave a testimony of what God was doing through Alpha in prisons around the world. And when she finished speaking, she answered their questions, and then she stood up and walked into the middle of the room and said that every single one of you is able to have this relationship with Jesus. Come forward now if that's what you would like. And one by one, all 20 men gathered around her.
This morning, Dan gave thanks for Noah, who, if you don't know, Noah had a cardiac arrest and collapsed on a school camp not long ago. And I heard, I think this is right, he'll go back to school next week. Em and Elliot are down on the young adults camp, and we're so thankful to God. And I know many of you sitting in this room and watching online would say, I have seen God at work. I have seen the kingdom come. I remember one of the very first times for me, the Lord had called me to work with homeless youth, and it was a mission that had to trust the Lord every week for the money to keep going. You had to trust for each week's expenses. And I had a career that was going pretty well, and a wage, and super. So I told them I would pray about it. That was code for, I don't want to do it, go away. And because I didn't want to do it, I never mentioned it to Merle, and I knew nobody else had mentioned it either. But when I surrendered to God's patience and kindness and finally said yes, I had a problem. Merle had not married a crazy faith person. And we had twin four-year-old boys, and we had a mortgage. But my prayer went like this. It was very simple. I said, Lord, if this isn't you, I don't want to go near it. Happy to keep on doing what I'm doing. If it is you, and you're alive, you can do what living people do, and more. And Merle walks close to you, so I'm not going to say anything. You tell her. Amen. Not 2 days later, I was having breakfast, and Merle said to me, you know, honey, I think maybe we're going to be asked to go full-time into this homeless work, and if we are, that's fine with me. I heard the plop as the cereal dropped out of my mouth back into the milk. On another occasion, we had the blessing of combining a family holiday and a trip to family holiday with a radio assignment in New Zealand. And both went fabulously until the day we were due to start coming home. All our radio gear and interviews were stolen. We searched for hours unsuccessfully. Merle became ill. Our flight was cancelled, and we were bumped into another flight in horrible seats, not even sitting together. So I was sitting there thinking, what next? This is wonderful. And I noticed a fellow passenger had a Youth for Christ symbol on his briefcase. So in a flight I didn't want to be on, in a seat I didn't want to sit in, I discovered the National Director of Youth for Christ that I'd been looking for my whole 2 weeks in New Zealand. I told him the situation, and he prayed boldly, Lord, return this stuff to these people before they leave New Zealand. Yeah, exactly, that's what I thought. I said amen, and I thought, oh. The next morning, I made a call to Christchurch from Auckland, just before we left for the airport, and they said, oh, we're so glad you rang. Yesterday, we asked for help on radio. This morning, your gear was in our yard. So then, the man who organised your tour happened to be here skiing, and he heard the radio message, and he contacted us, and right now, he's halfway back to Perth with your gear. The gear got back to Perth before we did. But very often, you know, and I know some of you will be sitting there thinking, yeah, Graham, but it's not always like that, and that's true. Very often, it's not like that. God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Even now it's springing up. Don't you see it? That's in Isaiah 43. And the answer usually, often is, no. No, we don't see it. When Jesus came, history-changing birth in Bethlehem, almost everybody missed it. The Magi, some wise men, probably non-Jewish, some shepherds whose testimony wasn't accepted in court, and an elderly woman, an elderly man in the temple. When he died, the guards throwing dice for his robe, they didn't know they were fulfilling an ancient prophecy. Paul writes, none of the rulers in 1 Corinthians 2, none of the rulers of this age understood, because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And Isaiah tells us why. The reason we don't see it is, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I always say this the wrong way. I don't know what it is. There's a loop in here somewhere. You can read it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, the disciples, when Nick on Easter Friday, Good Friday, said, well, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We all love that quote from the African-American preacher. But the disciples didn't know that. They didn't know Sunday was coming. Can you imagine how long Easter Saturday was for them? Tucked away in that room. How do they wrap their heads around the life giver is dead? He raised Lazarus. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the widow's son. And he's in Joseph's tomb. And he's dead. Graveyard dead. Mike Miles reminds us, though, in his latest Word in Season, that the message of the cross is the power of God. It doesn't look like it to human eyes, but it is the power of God. So if you this morning feel at your lowest, if you feel like your hope is gone, you see that man carrying the cross? In your deepest, darkest moments, he is there. And as Paul wrote in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 1, Christ is the power of God. Amen. You might have seen Carolyn's cards, might have received one. It's a ministry born out of a very challenging chapter in Carolyn's life. Carolyn Roach is a dear friend of Merle's and mine, and we saw her life change completely in an instant. Her loved husband Patrick had never been sick. One day, she went to check on him to discover he had suddenly, completely, unexpectedly died.
From that day to this day, 16 years now, just gone. I don't feel lonely, I don't feel alone, I don't feel scared living by myself. And God is so, so kind. He is so kind and so thoughtful and caring and loving and beautiful. And so I do miss Patrick. At times I've had some very difficult seasons to walk through, and I miss him there to walk through them with me. But I think I've learned that when we invite God into whatever we're going through, that's the difference for me, is abiding in him and loving. For me, the gospel boils down to abiding, John 15, and loving. And my husband did that so well. He loved God and loved people really well, taught by example. And
if you heard the whole story, she says there have been challenging, very, very difficult times. Of course there have, in that shock and that tragedy. But I'm not listening there to somebody who knows about Jesus. Doesn't that ring true to you as someone who knows Jesus, actually knows him? And that's the difference between information and revelation. Information is important. You don't want to go believing a load of nonsense. And information keeps us on the right path. It avoids heresy. It's information. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our mind. Information is important, but it doesn't save you. Only revelation transforms. I love the Oxford mathematician John Oxley, and if you ever Google John Oxley, if you haven't heard his stuff, he's really, really good. But he used a really helpful illustration recently I'd like to share with you now. He said, if I scan you thoroughly medically, if you go in for a very thorough whole body medical scan, I'll know a lot about you, but I won't know you. I won't know you until I spend time with you and you reveal yourself to me. I'm sure you know, most of you sitting in the room would know Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who is the kingdom revealed to? I reckon Jesus answered that, but just before we come to his answer, let me tell you a story. I enjoy the ministry of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church, and their speaking team. Rick wasn't this speaker. I have tried to find his name and I can't. Sorry. But he said to the congregation, you know, I'm a very conservative person. I'm a scholar. But he said, I have to tell you a story. The other day, he said, we have a goldfish, Billy. And I've got a little three-year-old. It's his goldfish. And I looked at Billy one late afternoon, and he was swimming in a most peculiar fashion. And I was certain that by morning, he would not be swimming at all. And so I tried to just divert my three-year-old. When it came time for our prayers that night, he prayed, "And Lord Jesus, please heal Billy. Thank you. Amen." And so he said, the little guy went to bed and went off to sleep. He said, I didn't. All night I'm lying there thinking, when he gets up and Billy's doing the upside down float on the top of the, how do I take him into this, we've got to cope with it. But he said, next morning I woke really early, I heard him wake up, I heard his little feet running down the passage, and then I heard him go, yay! He said, then it was my feet running down the passage. And he said, there was Billy swimming like a brand new baby goldfish. Now, why did God do that, or why did that happen? Well, he didn't try to explain it, and I'm not going to either, but I will say this, I am certain that was the most loving and helpful way Jesus could reveal himself to that little boy, to lay the foundations of a relationship with him. See, the kingdom doesn't belong to people like these little children because they're gullible. It's not because they're easily led or stupid. We're supposed to love the Lord our God, as I've said, with all our mind. But revelation comes to people who also love the Lord their God with all their heart and keep asking the Spirit to search their heart and keep asking the Holy Spirit to reveal what's really happening, to lift the blindness. And if there's one sign and wonder I've prayed for this morning, is that the Spirit will do that for you in some way. He'll show you where your heart is. He'll show you where His heart is for you. He'll show you maybe lies that you're believing that are crippling you, and they're lies. That is what I would love the Holy Spirit to do today. In fact, Tim Brown puts it beautifully. He says this, the question is not whether God still performs miracles, but whether or not your heart is open enough to receive them. Is your heart open enough to receive them? My little grandson, David, he came to me one day and he said, Poppy, I'm sorry, but I'm in trouble. I said, oh, he was about four. I said, why is that, David? He said, well, it's nearly time for me to have my bed made and it's a mess. Can you help? Well, of course I can, I'm your granddad. Yes, of course I can. We go up there, and I got him to do it with me. He did what I asked, in no time the bed's made, and we're leaving the room. He went, Poppy, you're brilliant at this. Now, apart from floating out of the room on a small cloud, what happened there? Well, he was honest enough to say he couldn't do it. He knew he needed help. He knew I would help if he asked me. And then he was humble enough to do what I told him to do. And that's exactly what the 72 said when they came, or what the 72 disciples did who Jesus sent out to preach the gospel. Remember, he sent 72 out in twos. And they came back over the moon because they were seeing the kingdom come. And Jesus, I think, then said, who gets to see God revealed? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, look what Jesus said. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you revealed them to little children. Nothing particularly validating about being asked to be a little child, is it? Yes, it is, in the kingdom. See, children aren't image conscious. Children admit they don't have the answers. Children show their vulnerability. That's so freeing. Once we get free of the image, once we realize that we don't have to worry about what people think about us, because they don't. They think about them. Once we're free of image, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. One of the most freeing prayers I have learned to pray, I'm still learning, very much a work in progress, but it's, Lord, I don't know, I don't see. And I won't know and I won't see until you reveal it to me. You know, you see, please show me. What do we say straight after your kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done. I often hear the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what happens for me, see if you can relate. And boys and girls, you think about where you see God at work and how you talk to Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I often hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, Graham, you can't see my kingdom if you're still trying to build yours. Can't have two. If you want to see my kingdom, let go of yours. Rubbish anyway. I have found sorry to be such a door opener. But here's the problem. I need the Holy Spirit's help to know what I should say sorry for. Time after time on silent retreats, I've gone to the Lord with what I think is the problem, and he has gone, appreciate your openness, but it's actually over here, the problem. That's why we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Our heart's so deceitful. We need him. He exposes the lies that I believe. Stuff that happened in my past that still claims authority. Now, I'm not saying it isn't often a very long and challenging process to walk through and to heal from that stuff. But it did go on the cross. It doesn't still live. It may be a process. It may be instant if you're particularly blessed. But he'll show you what's crippling you. And he shows you because he wants to heal you. One last thing. One of those lies is you need to hide. You need to put yourself in the naughty corner. God wouldn't want to know. When I actually surrendered to God, I was privately convinced God wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. Dan likes to tell us that, to say that's a lie. In fact, let me conclude with one other story from the Gospels. Peter hits the highest point, I think, in the Gospels. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This wasn't revealed by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Check it out in the Gospels. The very next thing is Jesus is recorded as saying to Peter is, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You have not in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. See, we just come as we are. We can come no other way. We're works in progress. But we can see his kingdom come. Peter could go from here to there in nanoseconds almost. So can we. But Jesus used him. And Jesus kept every promise he made to Peter, and he'll keep every promise he's made to you. Craig adapted a poem from Walter Brueggemann's book, Awed to Heaven but Rooted in Earth, and he read it on during Easter, and I just got in touch with him and said, that really blessed me. Lots of other people did, apparently. At the Connect point out there, at the end of the service, there's a copy of it, if you would like, for those who've asked for a copy. But I want to wrap up this morning as our worship team return. I just want to give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak to you. By the way, in terms of praying and expecting God to do signs and wonders, next Sunday is one of our Sundays where we will have an opportunity for elders to pray with you to do what it tells us in the New Testament to do. I won't say much about it because I've never seen it yet. We were in America, but I'm delighted we do it and plan to take advantage of that next week. But as we finish our final song, you can pray with someone you're sitting with. Dan or I would love to pray with you. But first, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit. I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you guys exactly what it is that he wants to do. Exactly how he wants to bring the kingdom into your life. You don't have to stay where you are. You might know the Lord for a long time, but you kind of might be in this kind of doing laps. And he wants to take you on. So would you close your eyes? And here are some words from that poem. If these speak to you, then you speak to him. But if not, then listen to him. You, God, the God who with strong arms saved your people by miracle and wonder and majestic act, you're the God to whom we turn in our time of trouble and our weary nights. Our lives addressed to you have this bittersweet taste, loud clashing miracles, weak need doubt. And so we come in our bewilderment and wonderment, deeply trusting but afraid to trust much, passionately insisting, too timid to insist much, fervently hoping, exhausted for hoping too much. Look upon us in our deep need. You tamer of chaos and mender of all the tears in the canvas of creation, we ponder your suffering, your crown of thorns, your garment taken in lottery, your mocked life. You defeater of death, whose power could not hold you, come in your Easter. Come in your sweeping victory. Come in your glorious new life. Easter us. Easter us in joy and strength. Be our God. Be your true self, Lord of life. Massively turn our life toward you. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Expose every lie of the father of lies. And set your people free. Let your anointing break yokes. Our final song, Christine and the team will lead us in, is a prayer, really. A prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to do just that. Let's sing it together.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.